Well, praise God.
Amen.
What an awesome day so far.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. What a wonderful day of cleansing. And in Jesus' name, we agree it's going to get better.
Amen.
Okay, we started really well, and we're going to end even better in Jesus' name. So what I would like us to do right now is I would like us all in unity, if you have been through healing school or school of dominion, I want you to establish the kingdom of God here and at every internet location. Same for those of you out there. If you know how to do it, establish the kingdom of God. If you don't know how, just pray that God's will, God's presence, however you pray, to bring God in and to change the atmosphere. Just do that, okay? So we're going to do that for a few minutes because we want to establish the anointing, for we're going to go directly into teaching. We're going to go directly into teaching. And then after the teaching, we're going to go into praise and worship. And after the worship, as soon as the worship ends, we're going to go into foot washing. And you might say, why do I want my feet washed? I took a bath 2.5 weeks ago. And the answer is, wait till you hear the teaching. Okay? So right after foot washing, in the first song, which is more lively, first two songs, they're going to finish the setup for the foot washing. And then in the foot washing, we'll have 8 ministers lined across here. And each person, if you'd like, and I strongly encourage you to do it, come up and have your feet washed. No pedicures, no massages. Okay? Just have your feet washed, okay? And then for those of you on the internet, while these people's feet are being washed, the camera will be focused not on their feet, but on their faces. And some of them, we're not going to be moving the camera around. So during that time, while you're at home, we do not recommend that you wash your own feet, okay? You do that every time you take a bath or a shower anyway. So during that time, maybe you can just pray for all the people whose feet are getting washed. But after the foot washing, which will take some time, it could be 30 minutes, could be longer, then we've got to continue the service, and then there'll be activities in which you can participate. There'll be communion. There'll be class cleansing, where we will talk about casting demons out of each person, casting demons out of themselves, if they want to. So the foot washing is just the first step in all the stuff that you're going to do here this evening. Not just sitting and listening, but actually participating. Okay? Any questions so far? Okay. So we start off because we're all going to establish a kingdom and get God's glory in here and God's anointing and fill the place with the angels of God and fill every internet location with the anointing of God and angels of God. Amen? So, okay, let's begin by praying. Okay, every person on their own, we're going to establish the kingdom of God. See His glory, see His glory, see His glory come down. Praise his name. Jesus reigns. See his glory come down. See his glory come down. He is Lord. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and he is Lord. And my tongue shall bear, every tongue confess, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. So why are we having cleansing? Why are we having a retreat? Well, so you can stand up here like me and sing. Hopefully sing better than I can sing, but that you can do it. Because when I was a teenager, maybe 13, I was in high school, somewhat precocious. I was kicked out of the choir in front of maybe 80 choir members. And the man said, "You're a monotone, get out," in front of everybody. And that really crushed me. I never used to sing before. I never sang again after that. I was so afraid of public speaking that I went all the way through college, 10 years of college pretty much, without ever taking a class where I had to speak in class. But thank God, he is our cleanser. And I got set free. And now, I can sing to all of you, and I'll send you the bill later on. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. That's why we're having a retreat. Because God loves you and God loves me. And he wants us all set free. Because if you picture that we're all sons, generic sons and daughters of God, we should look like sons of God and act like them. Look at Adam. You think Adam was afraid of singing in the choir?
No.
I don't think so. Not that he had a choir, but if he had one, he wouldn't have been afraid.
He was the choir.
He was the choir. Any fear of public speaking, any fear of public singing, any fear of any kind comes from the devil. And God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of a love and a sound mind. Power, because in the name of Jesus, you can do anything. Christ Jesus strengthens you. God is your strength, your personal bravery, and your invincible army, which means you are more than a conqueror. You are, as Pastor Matthew has pointed out, in the more modern translation would be, you're a super conqueror. So we are Clark Kent wearing our normal, everyday human being bodysuit. But when we open up that bodysuit and the glory of God comes out, we are more super than Superman. Superman can jump tall buildings. We can move mountains.
Amen?
Amen? So that's why we're having this retreat. That's why so many people have worked so hard to put on this retreat. That's why so many of you have put so much effort into getting prepared, as Bill and Suzanne did, and had wonderful cleansing today. Super wonderful cleansing. That's why so many people have spent money to fly in and be here. Because we all want to get set free. We want to be all that God is calling us to be. That's why we're having a retreat. Now, the fact that you're here means that you've already come a long way. Let me tell you, to be associated with a church like us, you've already come a long way. Okay? The things we teach, if you talk to most people in churches about it, they would think that you're crazy or that you go to a cult. I'm absolutely serious. You know, we took the cleansing stream, cleansing the church literally, actually not cleansing the stream, into a large Presbyterian church not too far from us. Very large church. And we took it in there. So after a lot of prayer and a lot of hard work, we got to the point where the spiritual board had to approve it. They have a board of maybe, I think, 50 people. And they have to approve every spiritual move the church is making like this. So they sent one person down here to check us out. And the person came and checked us out and went back and said, man, these guys are not into grace. They're into work. They're almost like a cult. Really? Well, but God wanted it there, so we succeeded anywhere. Prayer got it through, and we got it in there. It was a tremendous success. And this lady that the board sent down here, she was so bent out of shape that she started talking, and the demons and I would take over. And she'd call on my phone, and the first few phone calls I took, and she was so demonized on the phone, saying so many terrible things, that after two or three calls, I never answered them anymore, never took the calls anymore. We have recordings of her just demonizing on the phone. And she was calling us the cult. Let me tell you, believing the word of God doesn't make you a cult. Casting out demons don't make you a cult. These signs shall follow a believer. First sign, in my name they shall cast out demons. First sign, in my name they shall cast out devils. So the fact that you're here means you've already come a really, really long way. We've given you a retreat manual. And the manual will have a couple of teachings in the past that you may or may not have heard. And you'll have the ones from today and some other things. The whole purpose of the manual is to put in one place enough directions that if you follow them, you can be set free from every devil, demon, and spirit. I want you to know that the first time demons were cast out of me was just me and the Holy Spirit. I knew almost zero about demons, except that you can command them in the name of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit said to me, cast these demons out, this category of demons. This is way back in the early 80s, maybe 82. And I sat down, and all I knew was say, in the name of Jesus, get out. That's what the Bible says. So I sat there saying, I had never seen a demon come out of anybody before that, to the best of my recollection. And I sat there saying, come out, in the name of Jesus, come out. And for 15 minutes, nothing happened. And then after 15 minutes, I had this violent eruption. I felt like somebody stuck a big spoon inside me and started scooping all my insides out. And it was as if all my insides were going to come out right out of here and down. So I ran for the nearest thing I could find, which was a sink. And I bent over the kitchen sink like this, and I thought a lot of stuff was going to come out, because believe me, there were times in the past when I drank and I'd gotten drunk to the point where I threw up. So I had some practice, maybe even a PhD in throwing up. That was before I was saved, just so you know. And I am expecting this torrent of vomit to come out. Not one drop came out. What came out was the loudest bellow I ever heard in my life. Put all of you to shame. All of you guys have been bellowing here. You think you're loud? You're not loud. It sounded like somebody was killing a pig. It was awful. And there came this really bad odor out of me. Oh, my word. You know, it's like some skunks on cortisone or what do you call that stuff that they give them? Yeah. And then six more came out. Seven came out. That was in 82. So it's a bit too late to tell me that Christians can't have demons. And that's what God wants for all of us, to get set free, to be cleansed, that we can be all that Jesus called us to be, which is to be conformed to his image. He wants us to be conformed to his image. So in this retreat, we hope that being here under the anointing, participating in the cleansing, that the things of this world will grow strangely dim. That God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, will become more and more of a burning light in your heart and in your mind and in your life. So we want to draw closer to Jesus, and this entire weekend is designed for that. We want to become that holy temple of God. Understand that God created Adam, and he had a plan for Adam. Same plan he has for mankind. And he would talk to Adam until Adam sinned. But that didn't stop God. His plans never fail. We may make mistakes and slow him down, but his word is going to come true. So he started back up. He found a man named Abraham who would listen to him and believe him and demonstrate that he loved him and would be obedient to him. And that eventually led to Moses. And God said to Moses, I am going to make you a god to Pharaoh. Small g, I'm going to make you a god to Pharaoh. And after a while, after they got out, he said, now I want you to build me a sanctuary. Make me a sanctuary. They made a tabernacle so God could live with them. And eventually, the tabernacle became the Temple of Solomon. But that wasn't the intimacy God wanted. He wanted people who would worship him in spirit and truth. He wanted us to be the temple, that he could live in us, and we could be the bearers of the glory of God going from point A to point B. That wherever we go, we have a holy guest. Wherever we go, we are taking God's word and God's glory. The things we have seen in the Bible prior to this, they're not examples to look up and say, how wonderful, how amazing, how did they do all these things with God? No, they are examples for us to learn by and shoulders for us to climb upon. Even Jesus, Son of God, the Word made flesh, what did he say to us? Climb on my shoulder. The works that I do, you shall do, and greater works. Isn't that what he said? We're to climb on their shoulders. So when Peter walked and people in the shadow got healed, listen, we should walk by people and they should get healed. Yeah. This just should be a way of life. Mm-hmm. God wanted to be in us, to be his temple. And you say, well, when you have all this intimacy here now, and you walk in that power where these miracles happen, because the glory of God floods your heart, soul, mind, brain, and body. And these miracles are commonplace around you. Wow, isn't that the ultimate? It's wonderful, but it's not the ultimate. The ultimate is even better than that. The ultimate, it says in the book of Revelation, in chapter 3, to the church at Philadelphia, he says, I'll make you a pillar in the temple of God. He's going to make us a pillar in the temple of God, and you shall go out no more. So right now, we are the temple, and God lives in us. Ah, but he wants him to be the temple, and we live in him. Because you see, if you look at New Jerusalem, there is no temple. God is going to make us a temple, a pillar in the temple of God. But in New Jerusalem, when Jesus returns, there is no temple. For it says, for God and the Lamb are the temple. So he's going to make us a pillar in the temple, which is God and the Lamb. He's going to make us a pillar in himself. And we shall go out no more. That's the intimacy he's looking for. That's why he wants us to stand on the shoulders of all these great men and women who've gone by and rise up to what he's causing us to rise up to. And that's why we're having this retreat as one small step in that direction. Our lifestyle should be recognizing demons and casting them out. And so in this retreat is important because for you and me, if we'll accept it, this weekend is the dawning of a new lifestyle for us. It is the beginning where we start to let the new man in us begin to blossom. God has said, be not conformed to this world, Romans 12:2, but be transformed. We're transforming, metamorphosize. Be changed from one creature to another, metamorphosis, like a butterfly coming from a caterpillar. That's a metamorphosis. He wants us to be metamorphosized, change from who we are into this creation, this new creation, spirit, heart, soul, mind, and body, so that we can be a pillar in his temple. So not only is the glory living in us, we are living in the glory. And that metamorphosis starts by renewing our mind and understanding what God is saying and living it. That's the metamorphosis that he wants. So today, this weekend, for some of you, we're starting to learn how to recognize demons and demonic activity and how to cast them out of ourselves. And for those of us who are going through cleansing and do get some form of cleansing this weekend, we're beginning to appreciate more and more the beauty of holiness. Holiness has a beauty. Do you know why demons are so ugly? Anybody here have seen demons? Or just a handful? Okay. Well, God, we pray that more and more we'll have people here who see them. Okay. We have some people here who are very powerful in seeing demons. Maybe they got all the rest of the talent that we needed because they see them so powerfully. But we all can see them powerfully because all things are possible to them who believe. But demons are ugly. I've never seen a handsome demon. I've never known anybody who's seen a handsome demon. They're all ugly. Why is that? They were living in sin. And there's an ugliness to sin. But there's a beauty to holiness which changes us from the inside out. Even our bodies start to change. Look at the two people who got cleansed today. And tell me if you don't see them glowing, if they don't look better. Okay? And they didn't even wash their faces. So some guidelines as we proceed through this retreat for the weekend. Demons cannot harm you unless you give them an invitation. They can't come into you unless you give them an invitation. People have asked me repeatedly, if I'm there when a demon is being cast out, can't they just come into me? Only if you invite them in by sinning. So whatever you do, do not sin the sin of the demon that's being cast out. If a demon of anger is being cast out, don't get angry. If a demon of offense is being cast out, don't get offended. We shouldn't get offended anytime, anywhere, about anything, because we are loving, forgiving people. Jesus died so we could be loving, forgiving people. So demons cannot harm you or come into your body unless you invite them. Do not commit the sin of the demon that's being cast out. But instead, as you go through cleansing this weekend and frankly your lifetime, stay under the anointing. Jesus Christ died so you can stay under the anointing. How do you know when you're leaving the anointing? When you start to lose your joy, peace, and patience. Even a little bit. Stop. If you don't know what the sin is, just confess, Lord, I repent of the sin of losing my joy, peace, and patience. There's something causing it, but you may not know what. But if you confess the sin of losing your joy or your peace or your patience, then he cleanses you of all unrighteousness. And whatever the sin is, it's washed away. And then you can ask him, show me, help me to see and learn, show me my hidden sins, my secret faults. Stand under the anointing by praying in tongues a lot and watching your words. Your life is guided by your words. The number one thing you can do for your health is to confess your sins frequently. Probably the number two thing you can do is with your health is watch what you say. Okay? Your tongue guides your life the way a rudder guides a ship. Every believer should be praying in tongues a lot and affirming a lot. In the name of Jesus, God has made the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart pleasing to him. Because it's only the Holy Spirit that can control your tongue. Only the Holy Spirit can control your tongue. You cannot control your tongue. That's scriptural. And of course, we're fasting from noon Friday to noon on Sunday. Now, introduction to cleansing. Why do we want to get cleansed? We want to get cleansed because we love God, so we want nothing between us and God. Nothing. Well, nothing includes demons, devils, and evil spirits, which are the worst things to be between you and God. Frankly, it is because of demons, devils, and evil spirits that other things get between you and God. So you want to get cleansed? It's to get rid of the demons, devils, and evil spirits, because there should be nothing between you and God. See, when you are walking with the Lord without sinning, in His presence is full of joy. Your eyes are fixed on Him, so you're kept in perfect peace. And He provides everything you need. The goal is to chase God, and the blessings have been commanded, Deuteronomy 28, the blessings have been commanded to chase you down. You don't need to chase the blessings, you need to chase God. So you chase God, and God will take care of all the things that you need. So where are we in terms of time and era and the world and all this kind of stuff? I mean, why is it, for example, that, I mean, had one lady came to us for healing. She had two challenges. And doctor said, you know, we don't know how to get you healed, and they're going to kill you. You don't have really that much longer to live. So she ended up coming to us for ministry. And my wife did primary ministry, not me. And after she had been with us about a month and was doing so really well, she said to my wife, she said, you know, I thought you guys were a cult. And that's why I wouldn't have anything to do with you. But after being under your ministry for a month, let me tell you, you say jump and I say how high. She got healed from both diseases, and as a byproduct, she was on two medications for like 30 years that they say once you go on it, you can never get off it. So the doctor, after she got her healing, is running tests, and he says, what are you taking these things for? He said, they put me on it like 30 years ago. He says, you don't need this stuff. Don't take it. And got off both of them. Okay? That's the power of what God will do for people who keep moving with Him. So let's take a brief look at the history of the church. You think, well, that sounds kind of boring. Well, we call it the waves of the Spirit. Okay? The waves of the Spirit. And in a sense, it's a history of the modern church. The Holy Spirit moves upon His people in waves. Waves of revelation. Has always been true and is so. If we pick this up in the 1400 and something with Martin Luther, roughly 500 and a couple years ago, we see the first wave in modern time was a wave of salvation by grace. Right? Out of which came the Lutheran Church, which is still teaching salvation by grace and still hasn't changed very much since then. With all due respect to all the Lutherans here. Now, within a short time after the salvation of grace, spiritual wave hit the world, there was a big move into water baptism by immersion. Now, of course, when Martin Luther posted it, 98 tenets, whatever it was, on the door of the church, he was called a heretic, which is a nice word for a cult. So, he was called a heretic. No, the water baptism by immersion people were also called heretics. In every one of these moves of the Spirit, they were accompanied by healings and even people being raised from the dead. So, they moved into water baptism by immersion. out of which we have the Baptists, among others, which I still call the Baptists because it's the focus on water baptism by immersion. Then it moved into evangelism and missions, out of which we got churches like the Moravian and the Methodist. And then we moved on around the turn of last century to the Pentecostal revival, baptism of the Holy Spirit, giving rise to all the Pentecostal churches, Four Squares, First Assembly of God, Church of God in Christ, Church of God, these churches, baptized in the Holy Spirit. Here's what the problem is. God is moving ahead with the wave, revealing revelation, revelation, revelation. But those people, when they feel the power, let's take the original Lutherans, when they felt the power of being set free from salvation by works and from the bondage that was upon them by the Catholic Church at that point in time, they got set free. They were so happy with it. The church was so happy with it. The power was so great. They never really moved on. They had arrived. Same thing with the Baptists. Same thing with every single church moving along, all the way up until we got to, after the Pentecostal revival, we had the healing wave, Oral Roberts and those people. And the other churches were still stuck in the healing wave. Then came the word of faith. And a lot of the healing people taught these word of faith people were crazy. And the word of faith people came along, all the power of the word of faith, such as Rhema. And guess what? They're still stuck on the word of faith. Then came the word movement and the prosperity movement. And all the ones I've mentioned so far, all of them, think that Christians can't have demons. And so here we are, a wave called cleansing, which wave probably began 30, 40 years ago. The wave is kind of petering down. There's another wave starting up, the wave of unity with the Holy Spirit. But you can't walk in unity with the Holy Spirit if you're not cleansed. And after we walk in unity with the Holy Spirit comes a wave of dominion. And out of that comes Revelation 11:15. And the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever. That's what the gospel is all about. What am I saying? I'm saying the gospel has been around since Adam fell. It has been around cleansing. Yes, it's around love. It's around salvation. And it's about power, authority and power. But the process of all those is a process of cleansing. Once you're cleansed, there's more authority and power in your words than before you're cleansed. Once you are cleansed, you walk in more of the salvation package than before. It's wonderful to be born again and going to heaven in this age. But why would you want to do that and still have a body that's sick and diseased? How do you get healed from sickness and disease? You get cleansed. So God's whole point was to cleanse His people and cleanse the earth. He got His people out of Egypt. And when He got to the promised land, He cleansed the promised land. That's exactly what He's doing now. He's cleansing this earth. Cleansing this earth. Not taking the people out of it, but cleansing the earth. God would never act in contradiction to Jesus' prayer. I'll put it another way. Jesus would never pray a prayer that wouldn't be answered. And Jesus says, Father, I pray, not that you should take them out of this earth, not that you should take them out of this earth, but that you should keep them from evil. He's not going to take us out of the earth in a rapture. He is bringing us to the point where we work with Him to cleanse this earth the same way Moses worked with God to cleanse the Hebrew slaves out of Egypt. Different kind of cleansing. He moved them out and then cleansed the land where they went. But the whole concept is the same. Get them out of them and cleanse the place. So that's what cleansing is all about. It's all about cleansing the earth, but to cleanse the earth, you got to cleanse yourself. Here's a really nice way of putting it. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. When he appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope purifies himself even as he is pure. Purifies himself even as he is pure. Does that sound like a nice, great definition of cleansing? Purifying yourself. That's what the Word of God says. You want to see Jesus? Purify yourself. When you purify yourself, you're becoming part of the church without spot or wrinkle. You're being washed by the water of the Word so Jesus can present you to himself. He wants you to wash yourself with the water of the Word, which means you do what the Word says and you avoid doing what the Word says don't do. And the cleansing here that we're involved in now, especially in the foot washing, is based on the prayer of authority. John 14:14. If you should ask anything in my name, I will do it. Jesus says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Well, the word ask, a high level of translation would be demand. If you demand anything in my name, I will do it. And the do it, if you study it out, means not just do it, it implies if I don't have it, I'll make it for you. So that's authority. Because we are joint heirs with Jesus. Luke 10:17. And the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. The 70 came back. Now, how many of those 70 were at the cross? And the answer is zero. How many of those 70 were born again? The answer is zero. They couldn't be born again because Jesus hadn't died yet. And Satan was not defeated. 70 people who are not at the cross, 70 people who are not born again, took the devils when Satan was not defeated. And the devils had to answer them. How much more the devils should answer you and me when we are born again, the Spirit of God is in us, and Satan is defeated. Does that make sense? Yeah. That's the attitude we need to have, okay? Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. Not some of the power of the enemy. Over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's the word of God. You believe it, you speak it, and you act in it, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. But if you believe the demons and devils, they'll tell you, oh, we can really gang up on you and beat you. It's a lie. So that's the reason why we want cleansing. Because it's all about cleansing. From the fall of Adam until Jesus returns, it's cleansing. Frankly, it's going to be even cleansing after Jesus returns. But you have to go to graduate school to learn that part. In fact, I sneak some graduate school stuff into here tonight. But I won't charge you any extra, okay? So that brings us to the cleansing that comes in foot washing. Proverbs 1, ponder the path of your feet. Proverbs 4:20, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. He's saying, pay attention to my words, listen to what I'm saying. Let the words not depart from your eyes, keep them in the middle of your heart. For the words of God are life unto those that find them. The word of God is life. Why is that? Well, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the life. Jesus is the word. Therefore, the word must be life. If Jesus brings you life, then the word must bring you life. Jesus is in you. The word of God is engrafted in your heart. That's where you're going to be alive and remain when Jesus returns. Because life is in you. You know, we kind of think that we're like the ever-ready bunny which runs around, but when the battery runs out, it dies. Forget that. We're not running on battery power. We're running on the power of the Almighty God who's put himself inside us. Life lives in us. Forget this stuff about dying. For the word of God is life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. And many Bibles translate that word health as medicine. And the ones that don't, probably in the margin, it will tell you it also means medicine. The word of God is medicine to your flesh. You want to get healed? Speak the word of God. How many times? Until the manifestation shows up. Put away from your forward mouth, that is a habitually disobedient mouth, and perverse lips put far from you. Let your eyes look right on, and let your eyelids look straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Consider where your feet are going, and let that be the direction you're going. Let your ways be established. The word of God is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. If you're walking in God's way, you're walking based on what the word of God is saying. If you're not walking in God's way, then you're walking in the devil's way, and your footsteps are taking you towards the devil and towards death and destruction. Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy. If you're walking his way, you're walking towards theft, killing, and destruction. Keep the word of God before your eyes, in your mouth. Live the word of God. Walk the word of God. And of course, all our lives, for most of us, maybe all of us, we haven't really done such a good job of that. That's why our feet need to be cleansed. Because our feet have been taking us the way the devil wants us for much of our lives. And we haven't even considered it. Oh, it's just my feet. My feet do what I tell you. Yeah, but your feet takes you into sin. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Remove your foot from evil. How many people have ever meditated that? Remove your foot from evil. Now, we like to say our foot is up on Satan's head or neck. It can't be unless you've taken your foot off evil. If you ever remove your foot from evil, then his foot is up on your head. How are we led? Your desires produce thoughts. Your thoughts produce words. Words produce actions. Actions produce habits. Habits produce character. And character produces your destiny. Make sense? So right in the middle is actions. But your actions start with emotion. You're going to go somewhere or do something. Even if you work on the computer, you got to walk to your computer station. You know, you say, well, okay, one of my big sins was I really into pornography on the internet. What does that have to do with my feet? How did you get into the front of the computer to sit down? Your feet took you there. So what's moving you towards that pornography? Your feet. Today in the news, I read where this man killed 5 or 6 people, 7 people. I read it and I said, in here someplace is sexual misconduct. In here, somebody is doing somebody something to somebody that they shouldn't be doing. It's exactly what happened. The guy's wife or ex-wife was having an affair with one of the people. And that's it. You'd be amazed how many problems in life are founded on sexual sin. But thank God, we have a cleanser, a deliverer. And every sin we have committed has been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. God has cast it into the sea of forgetfulness. It's up to us to do the same. Cast it in the sea of forgetfulness, but cast the demons where they don't want to go. They don't belong in your body. As long as they're in your body, they gotta tell God, God, look at the sins this person is doing. It might come out your own mouth and you might agree with them. With guilt and condemnation. I shouldn't have done that. Done what? Your new creation in Christ Jesus. It's all gone. You didn't do anything. God sees you through the blood of Jesus. You and I should see ourselves through the blood of Jesus. When the devil accuses us before God, he's accusing us not based on what we've done. He's accusing us based on what we say. Because everything we've done has been paid for. But when we claim it with our mouth and we live it with our mouth and we say it, that's where the accusation comes from. That's why your mouth is so important. You must control your mouth. Maybe we should do some mouth washing, huh? So, actions start with the feet. The feet are the catalyst in the first sin. Your feet helps to catalyze that first sin. If your feet says, I'm not going, you won't get to the sin. The start of 1,000 miles beginning with the first step. Avoid the first step of sin. Avoid it by not letting your feet go there to stay away from the slippery slope of sin, which we talk about in healing school. Flee sins. And to flee sin, the first step is avoid the first sin. Avoid that first step. Make a commitment in your heart to flee all sins. This weekend, make that commitment in your heart to flee all sins. Make a commitment in your heart that from now on, your feet will take you only where the Holy Spirit wants you to be. Your feet will no longer be led by the devil. Is that a good commitment?
Yes.
Why don't I lead you in a quick prayer? I thank you, Lord, that all my sins have been washed away by the precious blood of Jesus. Jesus is my deliverer.
Jesus is my cleanser.
He lives in me.
I am committed
to be a loving, forgiving person. And in Jesus' name,
in
my heart,
I desire
never to sin again.
Help me, Holy Spirit,
to live without sinning.
And if I ever fail
and commit a sin,
I know
that God has already forgiven me.
All I have to do
is acknowledge that I sinned,
and He will cleanse me
of all unrighteousness.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm determined to be
a holy,
loving,
and forgiving person.
In Jesus' name,
amen.
And I agree with you in the name of Jesus, okay?
Okay,
no, in John 13:3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hand and that he was come from the God and was going back to God, he rise up from the supper, laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. Now Jesus says, if you give a cup of cold water to a stranger, you've done it for me. Whatever you do to somebody, you're doing it to me. So when you're washing feet tonight, you're washing Jesus' feet. Okay? And when your feet are being washed, Jesus is washing them. Then he comes to Simon Peter, and Peter says, Lord, you want to wash my feet? And Jesus said, what I do, you do not know now, but you shall know hereafter. In other words, Jesus is doing something. The washing of the feet is not just simply a bath. He's doing something spiritual, and Peter is not able to understand it at that point in time. But later on, he will. What he's doing is he's using the witness of the water to wash away the sins of the feet and the past of the feet. See? We'll see that as we proceed into it. Peter said, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus said, if I do not wash them, you have no part of me. So the washing of the feet was so important that Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part of me. Not just simply applying water to your foot. This is not a pedicure. Okay? This is serious stuff. He's washing away the evil of the past. He's washing away all the history of where those feet went in the past. But more than that, he's washing the feet so the feet can now go where God wants the feet to go. So the feet are no longer subject to the leading of the devil. They're now available for God to use that person to go wherever he wants to go. See? Now I know a lot of people today go in many far places of the world doing tremendous ministry because God told them to go. And their feet have not been washed. But they go with a whole bunch of baggage. Let me tell you, I have the utmost respect for missionaries. I think they're absolutely wonderful. But they are almost all abysmally ignorant of the salvation package that they're preaching. They know salvation, and that's it. And they think that's all you need to know. Well, to go to heaven, that's all you need to know right now. But to be a pillar in the temple of God, you need to know more than that. And they know nothing about getting their needs met, and almost nothing about finances and getting healing, because their feet weren't washed and they didn't have the understanding that they must be set free from the past. Peter said, "You shall never wash my feet. If I don't wash your feet, you have no part of me." Jesus said, Simon Peter says, "In that case, Lord, wash my feet and my hands and my head." See, we're learning so much from Peter asking these questions. And Jesus said, "He that is washed need not save to wash, need not have anything washed but his feet. He that is washed does not need to have anything washed but his feet, but it's clean." Or clean, but not all, because Judas was not, okay? So he's saying, when you have your feet washed, that's good enough to cover the whole body. Because everywhere your body goes, your feet was leading the way. The earth is cursed, and your feet move up on a cursed earth. All your lives, your feet have been moved up on a cursed earth. Your feet have not been moving on holy ground. We're created to live on holy ground. We have not been doing that. Embarking on the path of sin subjects your feet to the curses of the earth and of the sins. Your feet participate in the evil of the sin. That's probably one of the reasons why so many people are attacked with challenges in their feet and their legs. You are the temple of God. Confess your sins frequently. Stay under the anointing, and you'll always be in the kingdom of God. If you're in the kingdom of God, you're standing on holy ground. If you're in the kingdom of God, standing on holy ground, and you're doing what God tells you, you continue to walk on holy ground. That's how God wants us to live. For straight and narrow is the path that God wants for us. It says in Matthew 7:13, "Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. It leads to destruction. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life." It doesn't say lead unto salvation. How do you get saved? You confess Jesus and ask him to your heart. Doesn't that sound easy? I mean, once you believe in Jesus, it's easy. Does that sound like he's talking about something that's easy? Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads to life. Because he's not talking about being born again. That's the beginning. He's talking about living and being alive and remaining when Jesus returns. He's talking about living and not dying. He's talking about living as an overcomer to be a pillar in the temple of God. You have to decide, do I want it? Do I just want to be born again and go to heaven with my fire insurance? Or do I want to be what God is calling me to be? So, straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life. And few find it. How many Hebrews, after 40 years in the wilderness, cross into the promised land of the original 3 million plus? And the answer is 2. I would say there's only a few found it. You say, well, what about all the other people who grew up and went in there? Then they had to go through their own cleansing. They had to go through their own filtering. There's always filtering There's always cleansing. Jesus is the gate. John 10 verse 2. Jesus is the gate. He is the door. And Jesus is the way. John 14, 16. And so, why do we use water? 1 John 5, 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. You know some Bibles have dropped these scriptures? 1 John 5, 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. The Word became flesh. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. And so tonight, when your feet are washed, they're going to be washed in water. And rivers of living water are going to flow out of each minister to wash your feet. And to wash off all the evil of the past. Wash away all the curses of the earth and the curses of your sin. And then they're going to flood it with the blood of Jesus to heal and restore it the way God wanted it to be. And then anoint it with the oil of power. So that when you walk in the spiritual realm, there'll be like lightning bolts falling your feet wherever you go. Amen? Can we agree on that? In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so at this point, we're going to go into praise and worship, which will take a while to get the anointing built up for the foot washing. And after the foot washing, we're going to have some more class cleansing and communion that the Internet Church can participate in. Here in this time, pray for us. If you want to walk away and come back, you can do that if you have to. It's better if you stay there and just pray for us. Because the day will come when you'll be here and you'll be in the same position as these people. Amen? Amen. Okay.